Okay, so welcome to this interview with Dave Griffin, who is a business coach. And the reason we're talking to Dave today is because Dave suffered with ME, chronic fatigue, for many years. So thank you so much for your time today, Dave. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure, Kelly. Nice to be talking to you.
So I'd love to hear a bit about what your life was like before you developed the condition and what you've been doing in your life.
Well, before I got ME, chronic fatigue, I was a very active, very dynamic person. I spent 18 years in the RAF and very active. I left the Air Force and was out as a HR and IT director. Very active, working long hours, and even when I wasn't working, very busy, very active. And then suddenly, boom, my life sort of came to a stop. It was Christmas 2004, and I slowed down. I'd actually got a throat infection. I thought it was tonsillitis, but actually one tonsil remained swollen and went through different diagnoses as to what it was. And as you possibly know for yourself through your own experiences, it was actually the absence of everything else that they then ended up giving me the diagnosis of ME, chronic fatigue.
Yes, it is. It's one to say, if I can't find anything else wrong with you, then that's what you've got, isn't it?
That's right.
So when you were, when it led up to this, so you're saying obviously you were really driven, and so you were out of the RAF at this point.
Yeah, I've been out of the Air Force for a few years, but that sort of lifestyle and mentality never leaves you. So we're very much high performers, very active. And actually, that was one of the things that when I got my ME, was one of the hardest things to overcome, because we're actually used to battling through things. And that was a bit of a drawback.
Yeah, it absolutely is. One of the most challenging things is there's a balance between accepting you've got the condition.
You still there, Kelly?
Yeah, still here.
That's right. Oh. You disappeared off my end for a bit.
Oh, I could just hear a funny noise.
All right.
So yeah, there's a real balance between accepting you've got the condition, but knowing you can recover, but being able to allow your body to heal without fighting it. That's a real challenge,
yes.
Isn't it?
That was my biggest challenge overall with my condition, absolutely.
So when you were diagnosed, then what happened?
Well, I was working as a HR and business development director for a veterinary practice group, and I thought, okay, it's not too bad, but Christmas came, and of course I'd stopped working. That's when it hit me, and I became bedbound. I was in bed, not able to get out of bed to do anything, so toilets or anything at all. Fortunately, my wife, very caring, very loving, looked after me. 8 months I spent in bed, and we managed to get up to the hospital a few times for different tests that they were doing. But other than that, I was actually completely bedbound. Didn't know what was happening. When they were doing some of the tests, they thought it might be thyroid, possibly could be cancer. And I must admit, actually, at the point when they were talking about cancer, it sounds very weird, but I actually wished it was, because then I would have a diagnosis, I'd know what was happening with me, and there was a treatment. Whereas actually, I just didn't have a clue, and it seemed the doctors didn't have a clue as to what the hell was going on. Mm. And as I say, then after 6 months of testing for everything, they couldn't find it. You know, it wasn't glandular fever, it wasn't cancer, wasn't thyroid. They just came out with this ME, and then literally my doctor said, there's nothing we can do for you. You know, it's just one of those things you've got to put up with, and that's it. There's no specialist at the hospital for you to get and see. She did know another doctor who knew a bit more about it than she did, and was willing to speak to him to see if he could throw any light on it. But literally, it was sort of we've diagnosed you, even though actually we're not sure what it is. We've diagnosed you, there is no treatment, and that's it, you're on your own.
Which, unfortunately, is a really sad realisation that is what is happening to so many people. It's what happened to us, and that's the most challenging thing. And we have got a lady that we interviewed on the programme called Linda Cairns, who actually had ME, and she also had cancer, and she said the cancer was the easiest to deal with, and she prefers having that to having a need because of exactly what you said. It has yeah. a protocol. You know how to, you know that there's a treatment plan. People understand it. Whereas with ME and chronic fatigue, yeah. there is, you know, until the Chrysalis Effect program, there is nothing really out there that shows you what to do and how to get through these conditions yeah. and have the support that you need. So.
And of course, it's invisible as well. No one can see it. So it's actually even for my wife and I'm the sort of person who, with my background, didn't give up and wanted to keep fighting and finding a cure or whatever. And one of the things I did was actually try lots of alternative therapies and remedies. And one of those was actually going to an NHS doctor who is now doing alternative medicine. But one of the things he did, very fortunately, was actually did a live blood test on me. Where they take a blood sample, put it under a microscope, and actually have that linked to a TV screen, and could actually show where there was a lack of white blood cells, and the fact that the ones I had weren't at all active, they were really slow. And his actual words were, my wife was with me, and that's why you voted. And I didn't completely agree with what he was saying, but actually it was the first physical thing my wife could see that actually... it's not just me making it up. There is actually something wrong with my body.
Yeah.
And here's something tangible you can hang your hat on. So that was good.
Yeah, I think that is the most challenging thing. And when you live a fast-paced life and you're used to, like you say, pushing through and just keeping on going, I know for me one of the hardest things to deal with was not understanding what was happening in my body. And when the GP and everything don't understand it, you just feel so lost and frustrated that you, how do you know what to do if you don't know what's going on in your body?
It's weird, isn't it? It's, as you say, actually after a year of having ME, I was actually diagnosed with diabetes as well. And diabetes, like you were saying with that lady with the cancer, again, there's a whole program. As soon as they click the button, you're diabetic, there's education for it, you get this kit to do your blood testing, you've got your eye scan every year, you've got a whole range of things that suddenly kick in. And my diabetes was a very, very small fraction of my illness. But that was looked after 99% and above in what they could do for you. Whereas ME, which was causing me 99% of, you know, all the pain and the problems, they just, I wouldn't say they were willing because that's not fair, but they just didn't seem to know anything that they could do to help.
Yeah. And that is the most challenging part, isn't it? So once you you did start seeing some complementary practitioners, and so you got out of bed eventually, didn't you?
Yes. I did. After 8 months of being in bed, I managed to get out. I was in a wheelchair for 2 years, but went through, and probably not dissimilar to certainly to other ME sufferers I know, people who try the alternative practices because the mainstream doesn't help. So I tried acupuncture, Reiki, hypnotherapy, all sorts of bits and pieces. Went to nutritionists and looked at the nutrition side. And some of those would have maybe a little effect, but nothing that was actually huge or actually long-term. And I'm sure that there's people with ME and CFS who are out there spending thousands of pounds yeah. trying to find something that will work for them that just doesn't. And you know, again, that adds to the frustration of actually they're getting no results. They're trying all these things and it doesn't work or has very little impact, and they can just see money going out the door, and it's not helping, it's not benefiting. But at a time when they probably haven't got a lot of money to actually spend on that. I mean, I had to sell my house with my wife because we couldn't afford to keep up the mortgage payments, and we moved back in with her dad. So, you know, money wasn't there to do it, but you're always looking for that way of actually trying to get better, and not just giving up. Mm-hmm. So very frustrating and time and money consuming as well.
Absolutely. And that is, exactly what you just said is the reason we have developed this program and that we're now working with and training practitioners, because exactly like you went from, you know, acupuncture, Reiki, reflexology, you tried so many different things. And like you said, some of them helped a little bit, but no one person is able to say, okay, Dave, this is what we need to do. This is the process we're going to take you through, and you are going to recover. you know, there aren't people out there that do that. And that's what we are creating with the network of practitioners that we're working with alongside our program, because you're so right. People not only waste a lot of money trying so many things that don't work, but they also lose hope and faith that recovery is even possible because they try so many things that don't get them anywhere.
Yeah. It's a downward spiral, isn't it? Because as soon as you have two or three things that don't work, you almost go into the next thing you're trying, almost preconceiving it's not going to work. So actually your mindset is actually, this isn't going to work, but I'll give it a try anyhow. And you're defeated before you even start, to be honest.
Yeah. It is really tough. So what would you say were the turning points for you in your recovery journey?
There were several turning points, and probably one of the early ones which didn't, I suppose it was one of the starting points of my recovery, but actually the biggest challenge for me was actually fighting it, and with my background it was fully understandable why, but actually in one of my childhood I was still trying to work in the early stages. And I actually was doing some work with Salisbury Cathedral, and actually one of the chapter members, it's like their board of directors, one of the chapter members was a doctor who suffered ME himself and still suffered from it. And we had a very long conversation. Actually, his advice to me was, don't fight it, actually give up work. Yours is so bad that you just cannot continue to try and work. I know why you're trying to do it, but you've got to give up and let this thing just actually let your body... listen to your body, let it do what it needs to do. It's giving you a message, you need to listen to it. And actually it was only after that that I actually did stop work altogether. And that was the start of the recovery process for me. The other things along the way that helped me was I'd done training in NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming. So I knew quite a bit about training the brain and how that can affect the physiology. So I started very on a small scale using those techniques to actually get my mindset correct. And actually, the other part actually is I'm a Buddhist. And actually, I started meditating again, and actually for longer, and actually again giving my body and my mind that space to actually start correcting itself, rather than me trying to be a mechanic and try and do it all myself.
Yeah, and I think exactly what you said is a great way of summing it up, because your fast pace of life and keep pushing yourself through was obviously what led to the breakdown of your body and developing the condition, but it was having to realise that and understand that to enable you to make those changes, because I'm guessing you haven't been able to go back to the type of lifestyle that led to you developing the condition in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and you can look back now with hindsight, which is always great, and actually see the warning signs of the signal probably my body and everything had given me, and literally I'd ignored those, and then it comes along and gives you a signal that you can't ignore and you have to take notice of.
Yeah, absolutely. In our we have the six phases of recovery, and the first phase we call is denial, which is exactly that, when you keep pushing through and you keep going, and then eventually you get to phase two, which is where you crash and your body actually can't keep going anymore. And you know, it's when you start listening to that, and then you go on the search to try and find what can help and what's going to fix you. But you've also got to look internally, which is what you started doing with meditation, I guess, and looking at your beliefs with the NLP. And it's when you start making those changes, not just your nutrition and physically with your, you know, maybe adrenals and thyroid, but it's looking internally as well at the changes, like thought processes that need to change alongside that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would be, you know, when I meet other people there, me now, and not everyone's in the right place or the right stage to actually sort of take the message on board, but it is that the mindset and the letting the body have its time and actually thinking of, okay, if your mindset, and I know some people get upset about, you know, people try and label ME as it's all in the mind, and actually it's not good. Actually, there's true physiological, you know, ailments, you know, the pain of it that I can remember still quite vividly, and I was very sound and light sensitive, so I was in sunglasses all the time, even in midwinter. I couldn't have more than two people in the room because the sound would be too much. And it's actually not saying there's no physical reality to what's happening, but actually our mindset and the mind does control, it's so powerful and controls so much that that's where the correction really needs to start taking place for me.
Absolutely. It's having those areas both covered. So dealing with your nutrition and dealing with your thyroid and the adrenals to help repair some of the physical things that are going on, but at the same time dealing with your mindset, because a lot of your mindset is causing and triggering some of those physical symptoms as well. So there is such a link between the mind and the body that is how you have to work on both of them to get you through to recovery. You can't just do one or the other. It's just not going to work. So now then, what would you say your lifestyle is like now to maintain your health now that you have recovered?
And you got the last part of that. Could you say the question again, please?
Yeah, I said, what would you say is your lifestyle like now that you've to maintain your health and keep you going now that you are recovered? What's your lifestyle like now?
My lifestyle, I would say, is far from perfect, as in that I won't say that it's now I'm completely a health guru or whatever, and that's what I follow. But I've learned how to... I meditate twice a day, every day for at least 20 minutes and more when I get the opportunity. I'm very much more aware of my thoughts and what I'm thinking and actually how that can control my energy levels. I'm also very fortunate in doing something I'm very passionate about. When I had my ME, and it sort of was one of life's lessons for me and a huge gift, that's the way I saw it, was actually that life can change at any moment. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful that I've recovered, and I know that every day is very, very special. And so I go out and do what I'm passionate about, which is freeing people to do what they want with their life. And I do that through a business context, because I firmly believe that business owners have very stressful lives, and actually there's a lot of ways they can be more successful with less stress. And actually, I love doing that. That's actually a passion for mine. I can get up and do it. So actually, I'm very busy. And almost back, I would say I'm very dynamic again and living life to the full. But I also always keep an eye on those energy levels and make sure everything's fine. But because I'm passionate about what I do and I control that to an extent to make sure I do have my breaks and I plan that I'm now living a much more fulfilled life altogether, because actually it's sustainable. Whereas what I was like before my ME was not sustainable, and that's why what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the key things that you've mentioned in there is finding your passion. And I think that is one of the things that we both believe, me and Elaine, that, you know, that ME can be a gift. You don't see it or feel it or even believe that when you're coming through it. But when you do come up with other side, it does give you that time to completely stop your life and say, okay, what is it that I'm here for? What is it that I love to do? And when you start coming out, you're getting your energy back, and you can start tapping into what it is that you love, what it is that you're great at, and what it is that lights you up every day. And I think so many people end up with these conditions because they're so far off the path of doing what they love. That is one of the reasons they end up crashing with a condition like this. Whereas if you can find out and do something that you love and that you're passionate about, that is how you're going to be able to maintain your health, as long as you know, keep it in balance like you say you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Jo. I work with an awful lot of businesses, and it's sad when you see business owners and individuals in who are employees or whatever, actually doing things that they just don't enjoy. And, you know, life is too short to be doing that. And there's some of these people just don't believe there's anything else, there's an alternative or another way of doing it, where actually there is. And without having to have ME or CFS as a way of navigating you back to doing something that you really love. And that's what fires me up, and that's what gives me the passion to go out every day and find these people and actually help them achieve what, for me, is their freedom. It's freedom to really live a fulfilled life and enjoy it rather than be trapped in one that they don't.
Fantastic, and you're so right. So you're out there with helping people prevent these conditions, because if you can get them on a road to following their passion and getting balance in their business and being fulfilled, then these conditions aren't going to be such a problem. So that sounds like a...
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Well,
I heard a very nice phrase the other day from one of my... a Buddhist philosopher, and actually he was sort of saying, he was talking about things in general, but there was just a phrase, and he said, why does it take most of us sort of 4 to 5 decades to travel the 1 foot distance from our brains to our hearts, and actually start living our life from the heart rather than the brain? And I thought that's just so true, that actually you know, and so the quicker, the sooner people can, you know, sort of get these ideas and actually start living from their passions, rather than living through what they think they need to do and have to do, as you say, will prevent people having the you know, ME and CFS in the future, because it will just, if you're passionate and you live your life with energy doing something you're passionate about, you won't fall down with these illnesses.
Mm, absolutely, and it's finding what works for you, and everybody is unique and different. You know, we interviewed Anna Hemmings, who is a fantastic lady. She's an Olympic kayaker. And competed in the, you know, the Olympics. She's a six-time gold medalist. And she ended up with chronic fatigue in the middle of that. So even though she had her passion and she was doing something she loved, she was going about it the wrong way in terms of the training and pushing herself and being isolated from her friends and her family. So she had no balance in there. So even though you can have passion, I think sometimes it's also about that, but just like you said, and you work with people in their business, because when you have got your passion, if you're still trying to do everything and you're not creating that balance, you can still have so many problems, can't you?
Absolutely, and one of my key teachings with my business owners is the fact that they a lot of small business owners try and do everything themselves, whether it's through they don't have the funding, the source of capital or whatever. We go into business because we're passionate about one thing. We end up with the business side of it sort of dragging us.
Yeah.
That you need to outsource as much of that as possible. Because other people have a passion for doing bookkeeping and accounting. Mm. Yeah. One of the key things for business owners is, again, we're talking about balance, and that balance needs to be in their life but also in their business. And that's why the business owner doing the things that they're A, good at, and B, that they enjoy doing. So things like, most business owners don't really want to do the bookkeeping. They are not techie enough to actually do their websites and things like that. But it could also be marketing. It could be, you know, team building, office management, whatever. But one of the things there is actually to farm those bits out, to outsource it. Now, you don't want to have staff. That can be done through virtual assistants and other ways of doing it rather than having employees. But the main thing is that the business owner needs that balance whereby they're concentrating on what they enjoy the most and what they bring the most to. So that's why the business is most productive, rather than actually trying to do everything and actually dragging themselves down, dragging the business down, or not getting the business to go where it could go as quickly as it could if actually the business owner just steps aside a bit.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a lot of people that do develop these conditions are entrepreneurial type people. Some people run their own businesses, some people obviously don't, and they're employees and they, you know, they work for somebody else. But a lot of the time when they come out of these conditions, they're passionate and they want to create something. A lot of people actually get involved in the complementary, you know, business. A lot of people do train in something that help them through their recovery journey, which is quite usual. I meet lots of different people who are practitioners who have recovered from these conditions. But again, they then do struggle with being able to promote their business because what they love doing is being with the clients. So it's then getting the balance between spending the time with the clients and growing.
That's the thing. It's balance again, isn't it? It's actually that not only in your life but in your business is actually and one of the key areas I work with is veterinary surgeons, and they love animals. That's what they want to do, spend their time working with animals. The business side just drags them down, and actually what I do is work with them to minimize actually their input into the business, so that actually the business is almost a system that works without, you know, they just, again, they're at the top pulling the strings of how they want it to go, but actually it works without them having lots of time in the business, so they actually can go and do the bit that they love working with animals. So much so with complementary therapists, it would be the same. It's because people want to help people. But as a business owner, you also need to do the business side as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, there may be some people that when they do get out the other side of this think, I think I need to speak to Dave because I've got a business and I need help with how to do this. So we'll put your details in with this interview so people can connect with you if they would like to work with you as a business coach. And you've got a great name as well. And so do you want to tell everyone about a bit more about what you call yourself?
Yeah, I mean, my business, I'm called the Business Growth Co-Pilot because basically, it's hanging on the fact I was in the Royal Air Force for 18 years, so a bit of flying bits in there, but also because actually when I work with the business, I actually sit next to them in the cockpit of their business and actually help them fly their business to where they want it to be, whether that be more profit, less time in the business so they can spend it with family or on the golf course or whatever. Success is different for everybody, but I actually sort of sit next to them in their business. So I don't just give them a report and say, that's what you need to do, go away. I actually sit there with them and help them implement it and work with them on a practical basis. Because I'm very passionate about businesses being successful, because to me it's one of the huge streams of opportunity that individuals have to make a difference, not only in their lives, but in the lives of lots of other people, a better business person, and that's why I love helping them. So that's why I now get up every morning absolutely fired up to actually go and help as many people as I can. And I'm happy to talk to people and give advice. I'm happy to give an hour's coaching for free to any business owner who wants that. And there's no sales in there. It's literally, I love to give away to help people add value. And that's actually what my life's about.
Fantastic. Oh, that's wonderful, Dave. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we'll put the information in with the interview so people can connect with you, because this interview is going to go along with our session on finding your passion and your purpose. So it's going to link in really well. And if people do find out a bit more, and then they can connect with you, which will be brilliant. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was a really great insight. And we haven't got many guys on our program talking about these conditions and getting through to recovery. So it's really nice to hear from a guy for a change. So thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon.
Thanks for your time, Kelly.
Okay, bye.